This is the Presiding Bishop's Column, Our Real and Truest Hope, by Elizabeth Eaton. There is a curse of unknown provenance that says, may you live in interesting times. Well, in November, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, counting our blessings and giving thanks for the bounty of the land, and it's a time for families to gather and renew the bonds between generations. It's a holiday open to all people of faith, and of none, except for Native Americans who observe the fourth Thursday in November as a national day of mourning. The arrival of European settlers and the story of hospitality at Plymouth did not result in peaceful coexistence, but was another event in the long history of death, broken treaties, and the systematic attempt to erase Native culture and religion. Advent and Christmas come in December, and it's a time of hope and expectation. My step and mother-in-law once created a Christmas card featuring a photo of all the grandchildren over the caption, Christmas is for children. Yet this Christmas, there will be hundreds of Israeli and Palestinian children already killed and more in harm's way. Armenian children, Sudanese children, Ukrainian children, children of our own communities and schools are caught in the violence and death that we grown-ups are unable to end. We live in interesting times, complex, fraught, deadly. Everything comes at us too fast and is too intense, and at the same time we go about doing all the unremarkable tasks of daily life. We go to work, we clean our house and shovel the walk, we go to the grocery store, we check emails, we pay bills, and we just keep going. These seemingly Quixotian things actually hold us together as we try to make sense of everything that's going on around us. In her 1969 hit, Is That All There Is?, Peggy Lee presents a nihilistic view of life. Home, relationships, life, there's nothing more to see. So move on. When she was a little girl, she watched her house burn down and reflected, is that all there is? When she fell in love and that love was everything and the relationship ended, she reflected, is that all there is? When she comes to the end of her life, she reflects, is that all there is? These interesting times can push us into the same frame of mind, juxtaposed with the relentless pressure to be merry and sing joy to the world, to proclaim and hear proclaim that year of the Lord's favors at hand. We look at the world, at life and death around us, and we might say, so what's the point? Immanuel Kant, an 18th century German philosopher, argued that the goal of humanity is to achieve perfect happiness and virtue. He believed that an afterlife must be assumed to exist in order for this to be possible, and that God must be presumed to exist to provide for this. In short, we will never get this done in our time, in our human struggles, no matter how noble, but God, the Lord of infinite possibilities, holds out a life and future of promise. We say no and put a dead stop to the limits of life in this world, but God says yes and draws us beyond our imposed limits into God's limitless realm of love and justice. How has God made this known? How do we receive this? God does not shy away from our rebellion and the devastation that follows in its wake. God is not untouched by the murder of innocents throughout all the ages. Rachel weeping for her children, the massacre of the innocents, the Shoah, gun violence in Chicago, in communities and schools across the U.S. Lord, have mercy. But here's the thing. Into this world that God so loves, into our rebellion that brings about unspeakable cruelty, into our casual, unthinking actions that hurt others, God has chosen to be incarnate in Jesus. This is the incredible promise of Christmas and realized at Easter. This is not a God far off. This is God with us, a God who would die rather than lose a single one of us, a God who would go to hell and back to bring us back into God's loving embrace. This is our real and truest hope.